Iran summons envoys of Germany, and France to protest the EU's and Paris' condemnation of the execution of an Iranian convicted of spying. The British Prime Minister says the UK and the EU remain very far apart on key issues in Brexit trade talks, and people should be ready for a no deal. And Germany says it will go into a partial lockdown from Wednesday as Europe's biggest economy battles a surge in coronavirus infections. Hello and welcome to World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, Iran has summoned the French ambassador to Tehran over a statement released by Paris concerning the execution of an anti-Islamic Republic figure. The Iranian-born ministry protested this statement that had denounced the execution of Ruhollah Zam. He was the administrator of the anti-Iran telegram channel, Ahmad News. Well, the French envoy said he would relay the protest to his country's officials. Earlier, Tehran also summoned the German ambassador after a similar statement by the EU. Germany currently holds the EU rotating presidency. Ruhollah Zam was executed after being convicted of acting against Iran's internal and external security. He was also convicted of spying for French intelligence agencies and desecrating Islamic sanctities. Happy to welcome to the program Syed Mohammad Marandi, university professor and political analyst out of the University of Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, once again, we're seeing actually someone who had been convicted of working against the Islamic Republic of Iran, and we once again are seeing those outside of the country actually trying to condemn Iran for executing someone who basically was a spy and working against the interests. Your take on this, this time around, of course, we're talking about the French, France and Germany, but this is not something rare in general when Iran decides to carry out various judicial sentences.
As you pointed out, he was working for French intelligence, and this is not something that came out after he was arrested. This is something that he had said openly to his friends when he was in France. He was being protected by French intelligence, and he was working for French intelligence, and he was very proud of the fact that they gave him a great deal of protection. A documentary came out in Iran months before he was arrested, and it was clear for everyone to see. So this is no accusation, or this is nothing that was discovered after he was arrested or through secret exchanges. This is something that he was open about. So someone who works for foreign intelligence is a spy. And then the issue is not what he was doing as a journalist. The issue was not having a media outlet. The issue was that he used that media outlet to teach people how to make bombs, and he gave them targets. He told them where to use those weapons. It was so bad that the Telegram channel removed, the Telegram social media outlet removed his channel because he was violating its regulations and advocating violence. Mm. So someone who is a spy, works for a foreign intelligence agency, who advocates violence, who teaches people how to carry out violence, and who gives targets for people to go out and use violence against, obviously he's not going to be treated as some sort of ordinary criminal. And we have to also add the fact that the EU and France and Germany, they condemned the execution of this spy, but they did not use the word condemnation for the murder, for the terror attack, for the assassination of Dr. Fakhrizadeh just a couple of weeks ago. So an innocent person who was murdered through an act of terrorism, mm-hmm. This person was killed and there was no condemnation, yet this other person who was a spy, advocated violence, his execution was condemned.
And with what you've said, how you described it, I mean, basically they would, if there was an individual acting as such against them, they would probably label this individual not only a spy but a terrorist because, of course, of showing the techniques of how to make incendiary devices. Yet we have the Amnesty International basically saying the execution of journalist Ruhollah Lazam is a deadly blow to freedom of expression. Your take on how it is defined, for example, an individual that you just described of some of the acts that he engaged in, but an entity like Amnesty International is describing him as a journalist and his execution as a deadly blow to freedom of expression.
Well, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and other such organizations are funded by Western powers and by very powerful people in the Western establishment. So obviously they are going to attack those countries and focus on countries that are beyond the sphere of the influence of Europe and North America. Amnesty International, if it's very concerned, it should go out right now and seek those people who gave Saddam Hussein chemical weapons to use to kill tens of thousands of Iranians. Amnesty International, if it's so concerned, it should go and have call for the arrests of Western leaders, Canadian, American, French, and British leaders who are giving Saudi Arabia weapons to use to carry out the genocide in Yemen. Obviously, these sort of arguments are not seen as legitimate or sincere. This person, there is video evidence of him telling his friend that he has the protection of French intelligence, that he is an important person for them. He is an important asset for them. And as I said, Telegram itself, the CEO of Telegram, tweeted that we shut down his channel because he was advocating violence. He was teaching people how to make bombs and where to use those bombs. So a person who's working for a foreign entity and carrying out violence against his own country, he's not a journalist. And by trying to make him appear to be a journalist, Amnesty International is doing a major disservice to those sincere journalists who are actually working hard to get their job done.
Said Mohammed Marandi, thanks so much for being with us. University professor and political analyst right here out of Tehran. Meanwhile, Iranian lawmakers have voiced their protests against the Turkish president's meddlesome remarks during his recent visit to Azerbaijan. The MPs say that Recep Tayyip Erdogan's words were detrimental to regional peace and stability. Human Abadi reports.
The recitation of a poem by Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan during a military parade in Azerbaijan Republic was strongly condemned by the Iranian lawmakers and the government officials. Right after his statements, which Iran believes may fan separatism among Azeri minority, Tehran summoned the Turkish envoy. Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, in a tweet, rejected the remarks, saying that no one can talk about Iran's, quote, beloved Azerbaijan. Although the Turkish foreign minister has given assurances in a phone call with Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif that Ankara respects the Islamic Republic's sovereignty and territorial integrity, the members of the parliament vehemently slammed such remarks.
In whatever way, direct or indirect, in form of a poem or any other form, such interventionist remarks are vehemently rejected by Iran. We call on the friendly state of Turkey to be watchful about their official statements, which may result in controversy. We respect the territorial integrity of the Azerbaijan Republic and Turkey and expect them to do the same.
The poem recited by Erdogan is ethnically sensitive. A president must know the repercussions of his rhetoric. This was a wrong move by the Turkish president.
Such assertions have always been strongly rejected by the Iranian officials and nation. No one is allowed to talk about Iran's territorial integrity.
Erdogan's statements come as his efforts to join the EU have been futile, and the Europeans impose more and more sanctions on Ankara under different pretexts.
Earlier, the Iranian lawmakers issued a statement condemning the remarks by the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, saying that such remarks may put the security of the region at risk. Human Abadi, Tehran.
The Afghan Defense Ministry says dozens of Taliban militants have been killed in fierce overnight fighting with government forces in southern Kandahar province. In a statement, the ministry said Afghan forces launched air and ground assaults after the militants attacked checkpoints in five districts surrounding the city of Kandahar. It added that over 50 militants were killed and nine others wounded. The Taliban have not reacted to the fighting that reportedly lasted for several hours. Over the past few days, the militant group has launched several attacks in Kandahar. That despite an ongoing peace talks between the Taliban and the Afghan government in Doha. Moving on to other news this hour, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says his country and the European Union remain divided on key issues in their post-Brexit trade talks. Now, Johnson says his people should be ready for no deal on December the 31st. That's when a deadline to reach a deal expires. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the issue. Let's take a listen. And now it's time for this hour's news review. Well, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson says a no-deal scenario in post-Brexit trade talks with the EU is the most likely outcome.
As things stand, and this was basically what Ursula and I agreed, I'm afraid we're still very far apart on some key things. But where there's life, there's hope. We're going to keep talking to see what we can do. But I've got to repeat, the most likely thing now is, of course, that we have to get ready for WTO terms, Australia terms. And don't forget, everybody, we've made huge preparations for this. We've now been at this for 4.5 years.
Johnson was speaking with reporters after a phone conversation with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. The two leaders discussed major unresolved topics, and they agreed to push on with talks despite the passing of a self-imposed deadline on Sunday. The negotiations have been ongoing for months now without any breakthrough. The thorniest issues are fishing rights, fair competition, and finding ways to settle disputes. Britain left the EU back in January. Now, transition period is now in place that will expire at the end of December. That's also the deadline for reaching a post-Brexit trade deal. Well, let's cross over to London. I'd like to welcome my first guest, Amina Taylor. Amina, thanks so much for being with us. First of all, well, let's talk about, because on the one hand, it was said that there was a deadline, and today was the deadline, and now they're saying that there is not a deadline. So now that they're changing this deadline, does it mean that we can go up to the 31st? Can it go now past the 31st, or are there certain legalities that have to be taken care of prior to January the 1st?
Well, the legalities, Martin, good to speak with you. It's always been about Britain's determination that Brexit didn't drag on as they saw it. So when the people voted in 2016, they wanted to be very, very quickly that, quote unquote, Britain regained its sovereignty. So they didn't want this to be the usual negotiations without an end. So a lot of this is about Britain's Conservative Party's desire to see this done with an end date. All parliaments need to ratify this, so not just the British Parliament, but that of the other 27 member states, when there is a deal that Ursula von der Leyen and Michel Barnier, they go back and say, listen, this is what we've cooked up, what do you think? But it's normally with the idea that once the deal's been done, it's a fait accompli in terms of the other parliament. But the fact that it's moving and moving and moving, I think should have been something that would have always been in the back of their minds. And I think when we had conversations about British Navy vessels being prepared to board and a lot of that kind of hardcore rhetoric we were getting yesterday, I think that was kind of to say, listen, guys, we're still on it. But be prepared that we're in these back rooms, really negotiating hard for British rights. when I think more seasoned observers, perhaps even yourself amongst them, Marzia, would have known that if they were even close to getting something, they could just move that the old lever on the timetable there with very few repercussions.
Right, right. Well, let me get our other guests in here. I mean, out of Brussels, Paolo Ravone, Secretary General CIPI Foundation. Thanks so much for being with us. Your take on all this and from the EU perspective. We've been hearing for a while now as far as the deadlines. Now, the deadlines have been moved. And as you heard our guests out of London, or our correspondent out of London, Amina, saying basically these were self-imposed deadlines. But what is at stake here? We heard a lot of harsh words yesterday coming out of London and talking about even boarding EU vessels and arresting individuals. So where does it really stand in your perspective right now?
Well, it stands where it was, basically. It is a confrontation between a country that has been a member state and has decided to regain its sovereignty in full, and an organization that doesn't have the same qualifications of sovereignty and therefore opposes procedures. And the game between sovereignty on the UK side and procedures on the EU side brings us to this sort of surreal deadlock in which we are living.
And on that note, I'd like to thank both of you for being with me here on this news review. Amina Taylor, correspondent out of London, always a pleasure talking to you. And Paolo Ravone, Secretary General, CIPI Foundation, out of Brussels. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this pretty cool Sunday, December 13th, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts, or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please stay tuned until the end of the program. Again, welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, dear friends, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us in normal days. However, I say normal days, you know, these days with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic, and that's because of the global protocols. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Nicolas Perrin from France, from Austria, Harold Seuss, and from the US, Don Glucka have sent us reception reports. Well, Nicolas, Harold, and Don, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And as usual, a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later in our program, I read their emails and letters, including Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine has sent us an email. Konstantin Provatorov is one of our regular listeners. Also from Greece, we have an email from Nectarios Manousas. Thank you. From the Philippines, we have an email from Arontio. Arontio is also one of our regular listeners. From Algeria, we have an email from Bashir. Also, we have an email from Patrick Traverse from England. Thank you all. Again, dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back after the music with all these kind letters and emails from around the world. This is Listeners Special, and I'm back with an email from Ukraine. This email is from Konstantin Provatorov. Konstantin is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, greetings from Ukraine. I have had a great pleasure in logging in to your station and sending you my reception report, and I hope that you will kindly verify it. Also, I have enclosed to this email an audio file of your recorded broadcast. Would you be kind enough to send me your QSL card with a view of Iran's holy city of Mashhad, Imam Reza Holy Shrine? Thank you in advance." Also, greetings to you, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine. I do express my appreciation to you because of writing this email. Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine, and thank you for enclosing an audio file of our program. Yes, we received it. And what a pity we can't send you any item, including a paper QSL card, and also, as you have requested, a postcard with the view of Iran's holy city of Mashhad and Imam Reza's holy shrine, peace be upon him. As I said, what a pity we can't send these items to you, and that's due to the outbreak of coronavirus. Anyway, after the disease is controlled around the world, we can get back on track and the protocols are removed, and then we can send you paper QSL cards and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Thank you again, Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, here we have an email from Greece. This email is from Nectarios Manousas. Nectarios is also one of our regular listeners. Nectarios says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I would like to report a reception of your broadcast received here in Greece. If my reception report of your program was correct, I hope that you will send me your QSL verification card or an eQSL, which will do too. In case that you will need more program details for the verification, please let me know so I can get back to you in the future. In this email, you can also find a few technical details of my reception, which I hope they will be useful to your technical staff. It was really fun listening to your broadcast. I learned things for sure. That's the magic of the radio. And I definitely would like to hear you again in the future. Till then, best of 73s. Greetings to you, Nectarius Manousis from Greece, and many thanks for writing to us. Unfortunately, paper QSL cards are not available, as I have mentioned several times during our programs. However, after the disease is controlled globally and the protocols are removed, we will send our dear listeners around the world paper QSL cards and our souvenirs. Anyway, this mutual relationship should go on, so write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. Thank you again, Nectarius Manousis from Greece, for your great email to IRM English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned! Welcome back. Here we have an email from Algeria. This email is from Bashir. Bashir says, first of all, I greet IRIB radio staff and all the listeners around the world. May God Almighty gives us the strength to counter and defeat this deadly disease outbreak, which is spreading worldwide. Every day I hear from the media about the COVID-19 outbreak. I'm not a doctor or a specialist, but I can see it has caused great damage to the world, inflicting death. I hope the vaccines of this deadly disease will be distributed very soon among all the people in the world, regardless of their race, color, or financial status. Thanks to IRIB, as always. Greetings to Bashir from Algeria from IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for writing this email to us. And thank you. We're so glad that you enjoy the programs. And as you said, we also hope that the disease is controlled and everything gets back to normal and gets back to normal daily life. And this is our hope. This is our wish. Anyway, thank you for writing to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Bashir from Algeria. Also from the Philippines, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Arun Tio. Arun Tio says, dear IRB English Radio, I am Arun Tio from Manila, the Philippines. I'm enclosing the details of my shortwave radio reception of your programs. I'm glad to tell you that I'm listening to the broadcast from here in Manila, the Philippines. When I tuned in, I heard some Persian music, I presume, which I liked so much. Then a male speaker talking about coronavirus and interview on COVID-19. I hope that my reception report would be acknowledged with your QSL verification card. Also, I wish you all good health and happiness. Let's stay strong in these hard times and fight the pandemic. Best regards from your listener in the Philippines. Greetings to you, Arun Tio, from the Philippines. Greetings from Iran to Philippines and to Arun Tio. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio, and many thanks for enclosing the details of our shortwave radio reception of our programs. And we're also glad that you enjoyed, as you said, heard a piece of music, Persian music, and then the rest of the programs. Arun Tio from the Philippines, please tell us in your upcoming emails, tell us which programs you like the best. Tell us your views about IRB English Radio programs. Also, our wish is good health and happiness for you, Arun Tio from the Philippines. Dear listeners, what about a short break? We'll be right back. Welcome back, dear listeners of Listeners Special, the Sunday program. Here I'm back with an email from England. This email is from Patrick Travers. Patrick says, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very interesting and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information. Please, will you send me a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual? First of all, salam and greetings to you, Patrick Travers from England, and thank you for writing to us, writing to IRB English Radio. We are so glad that you enjoyed our programs in IRB English Radio. As you said, you found it very interesting and enjoyable. Yes, this mutual relationship between us and you should go on, and we are waiting for your emails. And in your upcoming emails and letters, please tell us which broadcasts and which programs you like the best in IRB English Radio. And as you've requested, you want the program schedule. Dear friend Patrick Travers from England, you can find our program schedule in our website. That is www.parstoday.com/en. And there you can find IRB English Radio program schedule. And about the souvenirs, including pennant or other publicity manuals, as I have mentioned several times in our programs, sending any material on behalf of IRB English Radio is temporarily halted, and that's due to the outbreak of coronavirus. After the disease is controlled, we can send our dear listeners around the world the items, including pennant, publicity manuals, paper QSL cards, and postcards. For the time being, please write to us soon and tell us which program you like the best. Thank you again, Patrick Travers from England. And dear listeners, here we've reached to the section of this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
My name is Chris Dampier. I'm retired. I'm coming up to 75 years old, and I live in Hertfordshire. That's about 30 miles north. Sydney's in Hertfordshire, 30 miles north of London. And I've been a shortwave listener now for about 60-odd years. Overall, I find the programs of RIB very interesting, obviously complete opposite to what we're learning in the media in Great Britain. This is obviously, again, it's a political situation in your country, but obviously it gives the enlightenment of your view of your side, and particularly your part of the world as to what's going on. Particularly some of the news in the Middle East is not covered here in our local media. In fact, during the last week, the local media has been just obsessed with Brexit and Mr. Boris Johnson, and anything else that's happened on the international scene has really pretty well been ignored. A message to our listeners is obviously keep listening to IRIB, because obviously you're providing a very good service in giving an opposite view of what a lot of the media are saying in another part of the world. And I think this is important. Otherwise, not everyone gets one point of view, and there's nothing outstanding on the other side. And possibly the other side is right. And this has quite often happened before.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with Arabi English Radio.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering the doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief, where we are trying our best to answer your questions when it comes to the different dimensions of the Islamic belief. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and in the studio, we have our dear Islamic scholar, Sayyid Mohsen Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum to you, and thank you for coming.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
All right, let's dive straight into the question that I have received here from a noble person. And the question is it possible that Buddha, is it possible that Buddha is among the unknown prophets that has not been mentioned in our sources?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, before I answer this question, I've heard that you have your thesis on this topic, on the Buddhism, I think. So you better answer like this.
I will add everything to your
right.
knowledge, Marshall.
So inshallah, I'll benefit from your inshallah knowledge. So the question is whether the Buddha was a prophet or not. In the Quran, we have this the verse in the Quran, and also in the life of all the prophets, we had this, that the prophets, when they used to come and they used to announce that I am a prophet, they were doing two things. Number one, they used to acknowledge, they used to admit or affirm or confirm right. the prophets who were before them, that these were the prophets. And they were, if there was about like another prophet was coming after them, they were giving the good news that a prophet will come after me. He will have these right. characteristics. For Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, we can say like he has in the Quran. We say in the Quran we have obviously the book that he brought, like the Ibrahim alayhi salam, yes. Musa, Ismail, Ishaq, all those persons, Muslimun. They were all Muslims. They were the right. prophets before me. Okay, and for the Prophet himself, Khatam al-Nabiyyin, seal of the prophets.
So 25 prophets are mentioned in the
Noble
Quran.
Yes. So
and
here,
much more in the Bible.
Much more in the Bible. So here, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he did is he said, after me there is no prophet, because he is Khatam al-Nabiyyin, seal of the prophet. That's why we do not believe on any prophet who declares being a prophet after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's the last one. But before him, whoever came, like Isa, the Jesus, the Musa alayhi salam, and all the other prophets, that the names that we have.
Just to make it clear, Sayyid, for the listeners, we believe in
124,000
prophets, yes, according to.
We believe in 124,000 prophets.
Yeah, and 25 of them are mentioned in the Quran. Many others are mentioned in the Bible, but we do not have the names of all the 124,000.
Yes.
But at the same time, the Noble Quran says, لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ
had.
For every nation, we have sent a guide.
A guide. Now, this guide can be a prophet or a saint.
Right.
You know, we had the discussion in one of the programs previously, that this universe cannot exist if there is no proof. That proof or authority must be infallible. So that had the guide, basically, that must be an infallible person. Must be an infallible person, and he should be from, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Calling people towards the right path. So we have 124,000 prophets. The prophets who comes, they have affirmed or confirmed that these prophets were before me. And obviously, those prophets who they were referring to before them were the famous people. They were famous. People knew them as a prophet or as, you know, the main person in the society, as a wise person in the society. And then when this prophet came, he basically confirmed that these, amongst these wise people, these famous people, for example, these five people or 10 people, they were the prophets and not the rest. So they did not mention the names of the rest. For example, if there were 25 or 30 people before any prophet who were very famous in the societies, from different societies, when this prophet came, he has to announce which one of these were the prophets, so that
people... we're talking about different geographical areas. I mean, we had prophets in Mexico, North America back then too.
Even in the different areas, if they were, it's the duty of the prophet. Because, you know, when a prophet announces his prophecy, the whole world get involved. The news is spread everywhere. So if there is another prophet in another area, either that prophet from there says, like, the one who has just announced his prophecy is the prophet, or this prophet should also say, like, he is the prophet. So this was the criteria.
So this has
generally
not been mentioned for Buddha?
No. In regards to the Buddha, in the Bible we don't have anything, because we can see he was 400 years before the Christian, the Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah, BC.
Between 400 to 500, something like that.
Yeah, BC.
So when Jesus alayhi salam came, he did not mention his name.
Or Nabi Ibrahim before
Nabi
him.
Hazrat Zakariya was at the time of the Jesus alayhi salam. Right. Hazrat Yahya, the Prophet Yahya was there. None of them. Hazrat Imran, the father.
But we should refer to Musa alayhi salam and Ibrahim. They were way back.
They were going back to the Musa and Ibrahim
Buddha
alayhi salam.
And before that,
why? Because they were the famous, we can say, like, the prophets or the personalities who said they were the prophets, and they were known as the prophets. Even regarding Buddha, even he did not said, like, I'm a prophet. He never declared himself being a prophet.
Right.
One of the things that the prophet do, they declare that they are the prophet from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have miracles as well. The miracles that they have, either they refer to the previous miracles, which the other prophets did, or they have their own miracles to prove that they are. In regards to the Buddha, we don't have any, you can say, any...
But when we don't have any source or
any
narration
source,
or reference from the Anbiya, from the prophets, that does not mean that we can deny someone.
Well, obviously,
there might be a possibility. Can we say that?
We cannot live on the basis of possibility when we refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially when he is sending the guides for us as a prophet, it is his duty. This way, anyone who is talking good, tomorrow someone can say, like, Gandhi was a prophet.
Mm.
It's a possibility. Why?
I'm thinking about that 1 billion people are following Buddhism today, and then you have Confucius, Shintoism.
Well,
in
you're
Japan,
talking about today. At time of Buddha, how many people were at that time? You know, a religion can become vaster with the passage of time.
Right.
That is something else. You're looking at today's world.
Right.
In today's world, how many Muslims are there? How many Christians are there?
Right.
Okay, we have different religions, like the Christians, there are many. But do we say, like the Protestants, for example, or the others, if they declared being a prophet? In the history, we have, like, there were Kadhab. Even in today's world, we have this Ahmadiyya, who call themselves being a prophet, obviously. They have this thing. They have this, obviously.
Sayyid, I just want to say that we have respect for all these people, Confucius, Buddha, and all the other personalities that have contributed to mankind and have been good human beings. And obviously, Buddha has been a very good human being. His name is mentioned until this date, and he has contributed a lot. But one of the strongest arguments that we have as Muslims against Buddha, or that Buddha is not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with all due respect, is that Buddha himself and the Buddhist faith today denies the existence of any god, any divinity. And the biggest pop, or the biggest archbishop, or whatever you want to call him, the monk Dalai Lama, he officially denies any existence of a divine power, which is called God. And they also do not believe in any spirits. They do not believe basically in anything that is permanent. They say that everything is moving, changing, all right? Everything is in motion. So that is maybe one of the strongest arguments that we have. But again, there has been a perennial wisdom among all faiths all around the globe. There are some truths that are very, very similar to the truth that Islam talks about in all religions all over the world. That has to come from a prophet. That is, or ultimately going back to a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are we saying this? لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد.
One more thing is that, you know, when we refer to the words لِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَاد, it is according to the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Because he cannot send a guide for one nation and not the other one.
Right.
If you get the commonalities between Islam and other religions, you will find there are some commonalities. There are some traits that are commonly being practiced between the Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism.
Right.
Now, those traits tells us that, obviously, the guidance was there.
Right.
A guide was there who told them. But we cannot say, for example, if someone becomes much famous, it's definitely because he's famous and this number of people is following that person. That might be a prophet. Yes. Yeah. We cannot say this on the basis of possibilities and the numbers, because there's a rule by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
A principle.
There is a principle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whoever becomes a prophet, he has to validate the ones before him, confirms before him, and he has to give the news for the coming ones. And in regards
to... And he has to declare himself,
obviously.
That I am the prophet.
In declaring himself, if he needs the miracles, he shows the miracles. If he does not need it, then there is no miracle to show. So these are the steps that we need to follow. There are the principles, and we cannot leave these principles, because on the basis of the same principles, from the very first prophet, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, till the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, the last prophet, the people, they were following the same principles, and on the basis of the same principles, every prophet was proving that he is the prophet.
Right.
For example, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, when he came, he said, we have the verses that these Christians and Jews, they know you better than their kids.
Their children. Or the know.
Why? Because
the
signs which were said to them by the Prophet Jesus or Musa alayhi salam, these signs are in you.
Allah
and they
Akbar.
Can see those signs in you.
Or Surah As-Saff.
Yes.
Surah As-Saff, which mentions Nabi Isa alayhi salam saying, Wasmuhu Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And his name will be Ahmad. The praiseworthy. Right, the praised.
The praised.
Right. Thank you very much, Sayyidina. And thank you, dear listeners, for joining us in another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. Please forward your questions to us. Continue with the good job you're doing. And we will try, inshallah ta'ala, to answer your questions with Sayyid Naqawi. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kHz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on November 3, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, via video conference on the occasion of the birthday anniversaries of the Holy Prophet of Islam and Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, greetings be upon them, and which coincides this year with the National Day of Fighting Against Global Arrogance and Unity Week.
We were not the ones who started the fight. It was not the case that we began the confrontation. In the Holy Quran, too, there is an ayah in this regard. They took aggression by being the first to assault you. Chapter 9, verse 13. They were the ones to start the fight. We did not attack the embassy just after the revolution. In the beginning of the revolution, the U.S. embassy was busy working, but they began to move against the revolution by issuing resolutions and delivering speeches in the Congress against the newly born Islamic Republic. They also created terrorist and seditionist groups, and they devised schemes against us. inside the embassy too, which was correctly called the Den of Espionage, they created a big espionage network. So, it was they who began the fight. The students' movement and attack on the embassy was in fact a defensive move, which was made in a timely, correct, and completely reasonable fashion.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord,
my Lord,
protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
And I wish to add that the notion that some people have about the U.S. government and regime is a wrong notion. They think if a government surrenders to that regime, it will benefit from it. But this is not the case. In the case of those governments that have relations with the U.S. and that are in better conditions, the reason is that they have not surrendered to it. Of course, they will receive blows in accordance with the size of their relations with the U.S. Those governments which gave in to the U.S., which accepted its policies and which surrendered to its bullying, have received blows. An example in this regard is Camp David. The backwardness that they suffered because of it will last 30, 40 years. Another example is the Pahlavi regime in our own country. They really made the country lag behind because of their surrender to U.S. policies. With the passage of every day, such regimes will become more and more dependent and will face more problems.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.